Why, looky here, looky here. It's Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. Hello, everyone. Welcome to EE Journal's longstanding electronic engineering podcast, hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say most of us have never thought, how can I do this haphazardly? Or can I design this with the wrong process in mind? Actually, if you have thought that, send me an email, because I'm intrigued by that thought process. But we're here to talk about the edge today. And are we really using the edge to the best of our ability? Sure, VR and AR are sexy, but are they really the best case for engineering development at the edge? Well, my guest, Kevin Hanna, CEO of Kazoom, doesn't think so. Today, we sit down and chat all about why he thinks artificial intelligence should take center stage at the edge, and why our ability to deal with, to process this tsunami of information coming at us from 5G, IoT, and big data is going to depend on how AI is successfully deployed at the edge. Oh, and we talk a little bit about tabletop role-playing games too, but you'll have to stick around to hear all that. All right, let's go. Hi, Kevin. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. It's a pleasure.
Okay, Kevin. So as we all know, there is a big focus on AR and VR and autonomous driving these days when we talk about the edge. But you think artificial intelligence should be our focus at the edge. So tell me more about that.
Okay, well, the first thing I'd like to say is we first have to understand why these applications, whether it be AR and VR or autonomous driving or even AI, are actually deployed at the edge. The bottom line is the applications have a dependency on having low latency performance, either the time it takes from data acquisition to actual insight. It could be due to reduced movement of data, either for bandwidth efficiency or compliance and jurisdiction issues, or even just survivability and reliability. So there's a fundamental need for them all to be deployed at the edge so they can take advantage of that location. So if we look at AR and VR first, and I'm talking about immersive AR and VR, not the handheld point and display via phone or just a simple HUD. And these applications are really cool to demonstrate. They're really sexy, but they've offered little to organizations in terms of real business value. So they're not actually driving any dollars and cents to the bottom line in any significant way, but they show really well. And one of the things that really reflects that is when you look at the immersive nature of, say, AR, there have been a number of companies, Meta being one of them, that have deployed headsets into industry to do field operations and field service. And all these vendors are really struggling. And in fact, Meta closed their doors this January. So it's all about business value. Yes, they're great applications, but they really don't drive any real business value today. Then you've got autonomous driving. Again, it's the darling of the media. In fact, I was at the NVIDIA AI show a couple of weeks ago, and they have self-driving truck, self-driving cars. But again, from an actual deployment and use in the real world, they're really facing some serious uphill struggles when it comes to regulatory adoption. So it's going to be quite some time before we see a fleet of autonomous trucks or autonomous cars on the road. Then you look at where I'm really interested, which is the business case for AI. And really, it's a simple extension to the tidal wave of business intelligence and analytics that have been associated with big data. And that's the key. It's this massive amounts of volumes of data that's going to be generated by next generation connected Internet of Things devices that is really going to cause a data tsunami, and the need to process this data and to do it effectively, you have to be at the edge. So AI, machine learning, big data analytics, they're all within the same band, but it's ultimately about having the ability to gain actionable insight from the data in a period of time where it becomes meaningful. So we're talking about, you know, 5 milliseconds, 7 milliseconds is very quick. But another interesting thing, coming back to my visit to NVIDIA, when you look at autonomous driving, when you look at AR and VR, AI is actually a component of both those solutions. When you're looking at autonomous vehicles, they've got to be able to do inference detection based on video camera input feeds. When you look at VR, they've got to make intelligent decisions on where they do rendering for immersion. They can't ship everything quickly enough when you're really talking about somebody with a headset that can move in 360 degrees, not just left to right. So it all boils down to that AI can deliver real business value at the edge today, and it's really going to be a component of all these sexier type applications as they come down the line over the next coming years.
Okay, Kevin. So related to what you just said, what industries do you think are going to benefit the most with AI at the edge?
I think it spans the gamut. I mean, ultimately, whether you be in manufacturing, healthcare, telecommunications, media and entertainment, and so on, there's pretty much an AI use case because, again, it's back to big data analytics, being able to take a set of data and get actionable insight from it. So it's really going to be, I think, in every industry. And back again to talking about the applications themselves, there's going to be an order to which the industries can take advantage of it. And it really is tied to that premise that the business case with dollars that drive to the bottom line are ultimately going to be first. So I'll give you an example. So in manufacturing, factories can predict in real time when unexpected fails will occur if a part on a machine might malfunction prior to the event. It can also help improve product quality because sensor data can be analyzed in real time to identify when, you know, something isn't quite right, when a value falls outside of a threshold, and they can identify root problems. And if wanted, they can actually automatically stock a production line and not have you produce defective parts, both of which translate to increased yields, operational efficiency, and then that equals real bottom line dollars. And if you look at what's happening with Industry 4.0, smart factories, and this explosion of sensor data associated with industrial IoT, it's already here and it's already been deployed and the use cases are already seeing value for those industries. That would be one. Another would be the communication service providers. They've got a real business case as well because they want to be able to leverage their location as an advantage over public cloud providers. We all know about public cloud. People can have massive amounts of data in the cloud and they can process it. But when it comes to AI and being able to, again, deal with those latency issues, being closer to the customer makes a difference. So the CSPs can use that as an advantage in that, I'll use the term war with the public clouds, because they've really been locked out of it till now. Now that location is an imperative, they can actually fight back. And they're also looking at how they can monetize what is otherwise perceived as dumb pipe, especially true when we're talking about mobile operators and 5G, where they're so close to the edge that really they become the gatekeepers to a lot of this. It's really every industry, but I think manufacturing, communication service providers who are actually at the edge today, those are the two where I think we're going to see most happening the quickest.
Okay, so Kevin, you touched upon it a little bit, but how do you see 5G playing into all of this?
Well, I actually see it as a critical catalyst. Ultimately, there are two things going on. The first is you have this proliferation of IoT devices that ultimately you can't cable. When you have thousands of sensors, hundreds of thousands of cell phones, those types of devices are always going to be wireless. But one thing to remember is the edge really encompasses a number of layers when it comes to the type of hardware that's being used. So, for example, there's the infrastructure edge layer. So these are data centers, like as I talked about for the CSPs, who are located much closer to the customer, which gives them that location advantage. But then you've also got the access edge layer, where you're looking at RAN cell towers, you're looking at micro-modular data centers. Again, it's a less amount of hardware, but again, it's a hardware stack. And then you've got the IoT layer itself with access points like cable boxes, Wi-Fi access points, vehicles, cellular devices, etc. So the edge really spans a number of different layers. And to deploy effectively for 5G, the mobile operators are moving away from proprietary hardware to standard hardware. So they've seen the benefit in containerization, workload management, and the flexibility that that gives them. And they're going to need that as they deploy 5G. This is tied to their need to look at network function virtualization, slicing of QoS to be able to provide different amounts of quality of service for different pricing. And a result of deploying standard infrastructure into the different layers of the edge allows other applications to take advantage of that, AI being one. So you can now actually deploy AI at both the IoT level. You can also use AI machine learning aggregation at the access edge layer. And you can basically change where you want to do particular AI workloads depending on the dependency on latency and the dependency on the data that you have to move to allow you to achieve whatever you need to do. So again, it's a critical catalyst. Without the 5G players investing in the infrastructure at the edge, then the edge really wouldn't be possible because you can't cable everything.
Okay, Kevin, one last question before we get into your off-the-cuff question. Now, how does your company, Kazoom, play into all of this? What are you guys all about?
Ultimately, Kazoom is a workload processing platform, and what we do is we allow organizations to recapture their existing IT resources and intelligently manage their work across a combined compute fabric of desktop, data center, cloud, and edge IoT. And hence my interest in AI at the edge. And what that does is it allows us to provide lower IT and cloud costs, enhanced security, improved performance and reduction of latency by enabling what we term right work to be processed. So the benefits we offer is lower IT and cloud costs, enhanced security, improved performance and reduction of latency by enabling the right work to be processed on the right resource for the right reason, which is an easier way of saying that we actually use our own AI. So basically, we're using AI to enable workload management, the same way that the 5G mobile operators are using AI themselves to manage a lot of this infrastructure that is growing exponentially at the edge.
Okay, Kevin, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, earlier we were talking about our shared love of tabletop role-playing games, and you not only play, but you also create these games, so tell me more about that.
Well, in my off time, I design tabletop role-playing games, in this case, something, you know, akin to Dungeons & Dragons. But also, one thing that really keys back into the work I'm doing here with Kazoom is interest in both AR and AI, because they're both technologies that can basically enhance the immersion for playing games at the tabletop. So you've seen the Star Wars chess game with the animations. That type of animation at the table can make things much more interesting and fun to play. And when it comes to today's tabletop games, the rule sets get more and more complicated, so you could use AI to make it much simpler to allow you to not take away from the actual fun of storytelling.
That sounds incredibly cool, Kevin. I am absolutely intrigued. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Kevin. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Okay, thanks.
Speaking of AI, how about a little contest you may have missed? Let me introduce you to the Bring Intelligence to the Real World Design Contest. Sponsored by Hackster.io, Avnet's project-based community, this contest encourages designers of all shapes, sizes, and specialties to put together a new IoT idea that also utilizes AI to bring intelligence to the world. I can think of quite a few people that could use some intelligence, but that's totally not what we're talking about. Okay, so to help designers get started with their project, Hackster.io is actually giving away Smart Edge Agile IoT devices, the hardware building block for this contest, to the 100 best project proposals submitted to their contest page by April 19th. In order to be considered, you'll need to click the Apply for Hardware tab on their site. Now, anyone who misses that deadline, don't worry. You can still purchase the Smart Edge Agile through Newark after that. You will only have until June 23rd, though, to create a project, document the development, and submit your project to the contest page. And then the winners will be announced on July 1st. There are a couple other elements involved in this contest that I should mention. By participating in this contest, you will also be able to use the Octonon's Brainium Portal and AI Studio, which uses Microsoft Azure. And get this, they say developers will have access to a zero-coding revolutionary machine learning tool to easily bring intelligence to their projects. Okay, sign me up. And this Brainium portal also leverages more than 20 predefined AI algorithms to help you easily initiate a proof of concept all the way to a product launch. And the Brainium software agent is also embedded directly into the Smart Edge Agile, complete with AI Studio. So this Smart Edge Agile and Brainium portal have a whole lot of fun stuff to play with, including a ready-to-use IoT device that uses BLE 5.0 with 9 different sensors, a full software stack including firmware, gateway, and cloud levels, a real-time data visualization dashboard with Brainium widgets, a ready-to-use cloud API for customization, and a edge-to-cloud security model. Okay, prize time. Hackster.io is going to award more than $6,000 in prizes in 3 different categories. Best use of AI at the edge, best use case for real-life practical application, and best use case for industrial IoT. The Hackster.io team will also select one project that they believe best contributes to any of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals to receive a $250 gift card, a 12-month subscription to Patcher Premium, and will be featured in a video interview with Hackster.io's resident hardware nerd, Alex Glow. I must meet this Alex Glow. Note for self later. Okay, so if this sounds like something right up your alley, of course, I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, you guys. It is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out the Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I love that stuff, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of April 19th, 2019, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.